Good morning, church family. I think this means don't touch it. Would like to invite you to have a word of prayer so we can do our meditation this morning and read into God's word. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our Father, which art in heaven, your church pauses to bless your name at this time, Father. Hallowed be your name, Father. Father, we long for that day that we will enter your kingdom, the kingdom to come, the blessed hope of salvation and eternal life for those that have called upon the name of Jesus. Father, your word also says that a man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God through the Holy Scripture. So, Father, we pray that you feed us at this time with the heavenly bread that will feed our souls. And, Father, today, at least on my eyes, it's a difficult topic. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will come into our hearts, will teach and instruct us, so that we may continue to grow and mature in you, Father. So we pray a blessing upon your word. We pray a blessing upon this worship service as we continue to praise you to the reading and a meditation of your word. And Father, we pray because only yours is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. And we pray and invite you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our small group, I'm wondering if this is working. Is it working? Our small group that has been meeting at the Fenningers for the past almost 6 years, we have gone through so many books, if I'm not mistaken, some 13 or 14 different books. We've been studying books of the Bible as well lately. And I'm here to tell you that we have been studying the book of James. And that has not been easy for me. And it is so interesting that as we were studying the book of James, as we're going from chapter 1 to chapter 2, our brother Steve Aguayo, he literally looked at me and he said, "I'm out of here. I'm done. This is not for me." And we all agree that this is not for us at all. Because the scriptures, sometimes, it's not only that beautiful, mild, fancy, good words that come and fill your hearts with so many good vibes. Scriptures sometimes can be difficult. Scriptures at times can be very hard to understand. And most importantly, harder even to apply into our own personal lives. And this is what the book of James is all about. It's not about knowing scriptures, but it's about applying scriptures. It's not about talking the talk, it's about walking the talk. And this is a difficult message. And I pray that you hang in there with me because I suffer. And I will suffer with you through this because these are difficult words that I believe that we as Christians that want to mature spiritually, once in a while we needed to go through, we need to be challenged, we needed to hear. So Pastor Gary's been leading us into authentic community, and I thought, why not talking about authentic Christianity from once we learn how to live with one another, once we learn how to respect and love one another, why not now bring into maturity and deepen our walk of faith with Christ? And this is what I would like to share with you. And the very first thing that I would like to share with you is this Bible verse in James chapter 1 that was already read today that says this: "Know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God." This is difficult. This is difficult because if you were just a little bit like me, You are quick to speak, not slow to it. And listening can also be very difficult when we actually have already words to tell the person even before the person finishes her own thoughts and ideas. Many times, even talking to some people that are very close to me, they would say exactly the same thing. I'm not done yet. Can I finish? Because I'm too fast to speak, even though the conversation has not even ended. Spiritual maturity is what the book of James challenges us with. Spiritual maturity is what we as Christians need to pursue and develop a little bit more. To walk the talk and walk our walk with God. Don't stop at hearing the word of God, the book of James will tell you. But start to apply those principles into your lives. The life of the disciples, it was not an easy life. If you read some of the Gospels, you will find out that most of the disciples, especially in the Gospel of Mark, they have absolutely no idea of who Jesus is. Every day, after every miracle, they are surprised by a man that is able to do things that they have never been able to see before. And in their walk of faith, they struggle, is Jesus just a man of action, a village guru that can do some fun stuff and heal some people with some herbs and maybe some remedies that nobody know, how the composition of it. What is this man that now can perform such amazing miracles that we have never been able to see? Even today, the times that we live in, have we ever heard of a man that is able to heal another man that has been born blind from birth? And as the disciples started to see these amazing miracles, my opinion is that they were as more and more puzzled as they continued to live day by day with Jesus. As they start seeing what Jesus is able and capable of doing, I believe that the disciples themselves, they also wanted to learn and find out what is the secret to all of this. When you see somebody that is very successful at what they do, you learn, you try to copy of what they do. In sports, you hear a lot of rising stars, and what they do, they start copying everything the other stars did before they arrive at the place that they are in that day. So the disciples, I believe, they wanted to know where the power of Jesus comes from, where the wisdom of Jesus is coming from. And now they come to Jesus and they even ask Jesus, please teach us to pray. Because not only they know that Jesus spends a lot of time with God, now they know that at times Jesus would spend entire nights in the very presence of God. And the disciples start putting some things together, and they start probably thinking and believing that maybe his power comes with his communion and his abiding with God. Throughout countless nights, Christianity sometimes can be very puzzling. And what I mean about that is that we love to study scriptures. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been known for many, many generations as the people of the Bible. Any church member can pick up a fight with any other church denomination and school them a little bit about scriptures to show them what truth is and how much God has a remnant people that are here to represent a final message before the coming of our Lord and Savior. But the problem that comes with that is that sometimes we start hiding ourselves behind knowledge. And there's a big tendency that at times we will forget how to live the teachings that we have received. And the book of James challenges us on that regards. And first of all, as the disciples continue to try to understand who that Jesus really is. We are still struggling after 2,000 years. Sometimes we read stories about Jesus and we still ask ourselves, is that even possible? I was reading with a family not long ago the book in 1 Corinthians that says that Jesus appears to all the 12 apostles after his death. He appears to Paul, he appears to Cephas, and then it says that he appeared for more than 500 people after his death and resurrection. And Paul was saying that he himself experienced the Lord raised from the dead, and he decided to write a letter to comfort others about the blessed hope of the resurrection of the dead and the kingdom to come. It's puzzling. It's difficult to understand and to grasp some of these concepts. But religion is not it's not about empirical data. Religion is about faith. Religion isn't believing in the impossible. Religion is about believing in a God that can do all things. Religion is about us learning how to live a life that will show us that it's good to follow Christ, that will compel others to come and follow Jesus as well. We have seen the Ten Commandments given by Moses, by God, written by his own fingers. And then we hear here in the book of Matthew chapter 5, 27 and 28, when God is connecting with his disciples that probably of Jewish background had profound knowledge about scriptures. Now Jesus is trying to bring them to the next level of understanding scriptures. And Jesus is starting as a rabbi presented in the book of Matthew. He starts teaching them. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in their hearts. So Jesus is showing them that there's one thing that is what it says and what you have kept yourself from. And there's another thing that what that really truly means. The story continues by saying that you might never have killed or murdered anybody, but if you hate your brother or your sister, you have already committed that sin in your hearts. So Scripture goes from now the letter of the Word into the heart, into the spirit of the Word. Jesus himself taught his disciples, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, and bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. These are the words of Jesus. And to live these words is very different than reading them. When was the last time that you were praying for somebody that has wronged you? When was the last time that you prayed for somebody that for such a long time you considered that person as your own personal enemy? That's what Scriptures teach us. It's very different from our human nature. We don't like to do that. We're not created to do that kind of stuff, not at least not in this present world that we live in. We're not wired to love enemies. We're not wired to serve one another. We are wired to get stuff for ourselves, to showmoat ourselves, so we can show to other people that we matter more than they do. And Christianity is quite the opposite. It's not about the individual. It's about the community and what the community can do for the individuals looking for Christianity and for God. We all know the story of this young man that came to Jesus. I said this one time and somebody got mad, and I said this was quite a good Seventh-day Adventist boy. He knew his stuff. And the Bible presents him as the rich young ruler. This young man comes to Jesus and he has a very important question. Good master, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the answer that Jesus gives this young man, this probably this Jewish boy, is keep the commandments of God. And let me tell you something. As Seventh-day Adventists, we can stop right there and say, well, we know them. We have them memorized. When it comes on the Sabbath day, we make emphasis and our voices even change because that's very important and close to our hearts. And this young man, he is faced now with his very own personal salvation. And now what Jesus tells this young man is, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, why don't you start by keeping the commandments of God? You don't say that to a Jew. You don't say that to a Seventh-day Adventist. That's what we teach. That's what we preach. That's what we believe. And you know the story of the rich young ruler. Right away he asks God and Jesus, which ones? Which ones of the commandments? And the conversation goes on. Jesus says, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus tells this young man, you shall not kill. Jesus tells this young man so many other that are part of this, the Ten Commandments, you shall not steal. And he keeps on telling this young man, you shall not bear false witnesses against one another. And then what is really interesting is that after Jesus goes over probably all of the commandments of God, this young man has the nerves of looking at Jesus and say, ha, I have kept all of those. There's a difference between I have memorized all of those and I have lived all of those. But he looks at Jesus and he says, I have kept all of those. And here comes the challenge now. If you have, the very next step is very easy for you then. And Jesus tells them, well, why don't you sell everything you have? Why don't you give it to the poor? Why don't you come then and follow me, and then you will inherit the kingdom of God. And the story ends in a very sad note where it says this young man was extremely wealthy, very rich, and his heart of hearts, his treasures, his possessions, they were his God. And Jesus ends by saying that it's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, if there's such a thing, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. A very difficult teaching that comes from Jesus. And then what is even interesting, like our brother Steve at the Finninger's house a couple weeks ago, when he said, who then can be saved? I'm out of here. Those are the very words that the apostles themselves say. After Jesus ends this conversation and this teaching, the very obvious question is, who then can be saved? Because there's one thing that I knew the words, I knew the teachings, I knew the commandments, and now Jesus is putting this twist on these teachings, teaching us on how to live by what we have read, and those things are very difficult to do. So again, those are the teachings that the Ten Commandments give us. And the reality is that the radical teachings of Jesus could not be stand by this young ruler. Because the teachings of Jesus is not only something that you read and memorize and go to Sunday school or Sabbath school and impress people. The teachings of Jesus are radical. The teachings of Jesus is something that compels you to live a life worthy of being a true Christian. So the question remains, how can we live an authentic Christianity in the world that we live in today? Some of the apostles came to Jesus, and they were reminded that we needed to store our treasures in heaven. Another disciple comes to Jesus, and he's asking, now we have left everything to follow you, Jesus. What are we going to get out of it? And here comes the word, and everyone who has given up houses, brothers or sisters, father or mother or children or even property for my sake, they will receive 100 times as much. And in return, eternal life. You will inherit the kingdom of God. So Jesus is now telling the disciples that it's not about possessions. It's not about what you have and family and friends and it's about following God and following what God wants you to do in this world with the life that you have given to. This can be a topic for another sermon, but I don't think that this has to do with having money and having resources. I truly don't believe. I really believe that Jesus hit that young man in the head with something that Jesus already knew that was going on. His possessions. They were his gods, his idol. He couldn't live without them. And even though he was a good boy that knew the commandments of God, Jesus knew that his heart was not in the right place. So my question to you, and of course to myself, is that, is it possible that even though we have the commandments and the stories and the teachings of the church all memorized, is it possible that Jesus could come and hit us with one question and we would walk away from Jesus? Even having all that knowledge, all that wisdom, because our hearts is not in the place that it's supposed to be. What would that question be if Jesus would be interacting with you? There's a beautiful story that it was one of my favorites in scriptures. The story of the sheep and the goats. And I invite you to open your Bibles in the book of Matthew so we can read some scriptures together today. The book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. And the verses start at 31. 25, 31. You have your pew Bibles in front of you. The number, I think I have the very same version that you have here in front of you. It's page 831. And it starts on verse 31 by saying, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and before Him He will gather all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left." In verse 34, "The King will say then to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, and inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you since the foundation of the world.'" And then He continues by saying, on verse 35, "For I was hungry, and You gave Me food. I was thirsty, and You gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and You welcomed Me. I was naked, and You clothed Me. I was sick, and You visited Me. I was in prison, and You came to Me." And then the righteous will answer Him by saying, "Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed You, or thirsty and gave You something to drink? And when did we see You a stranger and welcome You, or naked and clothed You? And when did we see You sick or in prison and visited You?" And the King will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as You did it to one of these least ones of My brothers, You have done it to Myself." What a story, that sometimes we want to be so correct and so righteous about which church and who are the people that have the most knowledge about God. And in this verse, Christ is telling us that religion can be very simple and yet very dangerous. Every time you see in scriptures when the question is which religion is true, this is one of the passages that you're going to come across. Jesus is saying that the King will say to the people on the right hand, "Come, O blessed of My Father, and inherit the kingdom of God that has been prepared for you since the foundation of the world." But on the ones on the left, He says, then He will say to those who are in His left, verse 41, "Depart from Me, you that are accursed by My Father, into eternal fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Because I was hungry, and You didn't give Me anything to eat. I was thirsty, and You did not give Me something to drink. I was naked, and You did not clothe Me. I was in prison, and You didn't visit Me. I was a stranger, a liberal, a refugee, and You have not welcomed Me." In one side, we see those who are the ones who will inherit the kingdom of God that are sitting at the very right of God. And on the very same passage, those who are accursed of the Father because they did not do what Jesus had asked them to do. To feed, to clothe, to take care of one another. That's what religion is. That's what religion is supposed to be. I love this story. But we're back to authentic Christianity. And now I would like to share with you some of the remarks and some of the thoughts that we had as we're studying the book of James. In James 1, 19 to 20, we already read this. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not work the righteousness of God. Look at this Bible verses. But be doers of the word of God, and not only hearers, only because you are deceiving yourselves. There's a big difference of knowing the teachings, of having memorized the teachings of Jesus, but God is saying, be doers of the word, not merely hearers of the word. Continuing with the book of James, we have found out that we are in between two different places when we read the book of James, and James is taking extremely seriously the letter of the word, and what some of my young people there said, the heart of the word, or the spirit of the word. In the book of Romans 2:13, it says, for it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Do you want to be justified by God? The Apostle Paul is saying, become a doer of the word of God. Are you scared of judgment day? Become a doer of the word of God, and you will be justified in that day. But he who looks into the perfect law now, the law of liberty, he calls it, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. As we're studying this, we came across the laws of liberty, the law that gives you freedom. And the law of liberty is how you treat one another, how you take care of your neighbors, and how you love those who have less. Still in the book of James, when we're studying it, we were not extremely happy with this book. It can be frustrating at the times. And we can have the same attitude as the Apostle Peter, who then can be saved? Because it is difficult to go through these things. Religion that is pure, said the book of James, and undefiled before God the Father, is this, to care for the orphans and for the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Look at this. Religion that is pure. If you wanted to have a religion that is pure, according to the book of James, this is what you needed to do. Care for the orphans. Care for the widows. The same words as Jesus said to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. It's how you treat one another, because when you do, you are the blessed one of the Father. And if you're not doing it, you are the accursed ones. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts and of acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? You know, sometimes we have to be careful with this as well. Favoritism is something that we as human beings, we have a tendency of playing those games all the time. And we have to be very careful that we don't play that game. Look at this. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small, tiny, little fire. We have to be very careful on how we speak. We have to be careful on how we talk about one another. And I'm always talking about people, and forgive me for this, but I want to say something that, you know, I was telling my wife earlier on and yesterday, I know my wife for the last 25 years between dating and being married. I have never once heard my wife talking about anybody. Never once. And every time I go home and I start complaining about things that happened to me, look how this person is treating me. My wife always tells me, well, Mr. Pastor, you know what you need to do. Call that person. Make peace with that person. Pray for that person. This is what I hear from my wife. She would not entertain this conversation with me when I'm talking about other people. She would stop me and remind me that I'm a preacher. Don't you hate that? What a blessing. What a blessing that we could live lives not like this, because a small little fire can destroy an entire forest. And sometimes a little word or a little gossip can go long ways as well. And the book of James is saying, if you want to be a part of an authentic Christianity, you will learn how to tame your tongue. Amen? Again, when I said this is a difficult preaching, it's not because, you know, I master all of this, but it's difficult even to talk about it, because I have had people that when I preach, they come to me and say, well, thank you for preaching that sermon to me. And that's not the purpose. I was preaching it to myself. That as a Christian, I need to be reminded that to be a mature Christian, I need to apply these teachings into my life. Not to be talking about other people's, behind other people's back, but to be praising and blessing other people. There is one lawgiver and judge who is absolute to save and to destroy. So who then are you that judge your brother? James is saying. The only one who can judge is the maker of the law. And now because we have memorized that Bible verse, we can now start quoting and throwing on other people's face, because now we think that we are the very owners of the Word of God. Because now we can judge because we know the next three verses that come. And the Bible is saying, no. There is only one who can judge, the maker of the law. Who are you that judges your brother or your sister or your neighbor? So then the question is, what are the results of living a Christian life in accordance to what the book of James teaches us? Let me ask you, when you need a pastor, when you need an elder, when you need somebody to come and pray for you and with you, when you need a hospital visit, who is the person that you wanted to come to visit you? If you're like me, you want somebody that is consecrated to the Lord. You want somebody that never talks behind other people's back. You want somebody that is uplifting the community. You want somebody that will encourage and support you. You want that person that has always encouraged you in your walk with faith. And the people that you will avoid are those people that are doing things very contrary to the Christian walk with God. So what is the result if we as a community, that I'm assuming coming from myself, if we struggle with this and we start applying this, what is the result? What is going to happen when the church of God start doing the Word of God and acting upon the Word of God instead of talking about it? What's going to happen when we start saying great and amazing things about other people and uplifting people and supporting one another, supporting their journey with Christ? What's going to happen to the body of Christ? And look what happens here in the book of James, in the very last chapter of the book of James, James chapter 5. Is anyone suffering? He says, if anyone is suffering, they should pray. James chapter 5. And then he says here too, is anyone cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. And then he also says, is any among you sick? And this is what he says. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with the oil in the name of the Lord. What I really believe this is that when we are all living in accordance to the teachings of the church, there is power. When you invite your elders to come to pray for you, when you are in a hospital bed, on when you are going through tough, difficult moments in your life that has to do with health or relationships, when you invite the elders of the church, and when we are living to the best of our knowledge, we're living the teachings of Jesus, we're doing the teachings of Jesus, miracles will happen and will take place. The Bible reminds us that the prayer of faith of that community saves. The Bible says that the prayer of faith will generate forgiveness. And that community that prays would be a great blessing even to those who are outsiders. And the book of James ends by saying that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So I end with this today. You probably have your closets, as I have mine, that I don't want you to find out about it. But do you want to cover your sins? Do you want to cover a multitude of sins? Be doers of the Word of God and not merely hearers of it. Because if you do, your life will be transformed and your community will be transformed as well. So as we all continue to struggle with the hard teachings of Scripture, I pray that the Lord will help you and encourage you to make the changes in your life that needs to be done, so we can all continue to strive to becoming an authentic community and an authentic Christian body. So may the Lord bless you. As I said in the beginning, these words that I bring to you, it's not because I'm pointing fingers, but it's because we all needed to hear once in a while. And I pray that God will continue to help you and help me as well to mature in our faith so that we can truly impact the community that we live in. So God bless you.